In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. What did they think they were going to see? That is the question I would have liked to have asked Peter, James, and John as they embarked to climb Mount Tabor along with their blessed Savior. Could they have possibly known what was coming? What they were so privileged to witness once they reached the summit of the mountain. Throughout Old Testament scripture, a mountain was often a place of divine revelation where God spoke to Abraham in Genesis chapter 22 or to Moses in Exodus chapter 19 and 23 or a place where God dwells according to the words of the prophet Isaiah in chapters 2 and 3. Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. And yes, if we scroll back a few chapters in Matthew's Gospel to chapter 5, we witness our Lord's blessed sermon on the mount. There's something about being atop of a mountain and seeing the world below, isn't there? Where everything is quiet and calm, where the world seems so far away, but our divine Creator a bit closer. In this morning's gospel, the apostles Peter, James, and John were about to experience just how close God, the Blessed Trinity, desires to be with His creation. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, His brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. The transfiguration is what the church calls a theophany, a manifestation of God, especially the divinity of Christ through a display of his uncreated and divine energies. The transfiguration, on one hand, serves as a key to understanding the humanity of Christ. By Christ's humanity, Peter, James, John, and Moses and Elijah, who were there also, bear witness to the manifestation of the Trinity. The relationship between humanity in the divine nature of God, but also the transfiguration reveals Christ to be Messiah and God. Remember how both Moses and Elijah were there with him. First, Moses, representing the law in all who had died. Moses, who lived to be 120 years old and was buried in the valley of Moab. And next to him, Elijah, who did not die, but was taken up into heaven by a whirlwind upon a chariot of fire, who now stands with Moses and Jesus as representative of the prophets and all who are alive in Christ. By their appearance, both the law and the prophets, the living and the dead, bear witness to Jesus as the Messiah in the fulfillment of the entire Old Testament. And in the midst of trying to immediately digest such a spectacle, knowing the significance of the event, Peter cannot help himself as his impulses get the best of him. And instead of remaining in silence at such a holy moment, he begins to speak. But his words are quickly overshadowed by a bright cloud and voice coming out of heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. In that moment, they witnessed the presentation of the Holy Trinity, the Father in His proclamation, the Holy Spirit in the form of the bright cloud, and the Son standing before them in the flesh. The significance of such a moment struck fear into their hearts, for in that moment, everything that was, is, and will be appeared before their eyes. As Saint Benedict of Nursia states, they saw the whole universe as if it had been gathered together into a beam of divine light. That divine light is the illumination of the Holy Transfiguration. That light is the ray of hope for all of humanity. But why exactly? For what purpose did it please the Trinity to appear unto men? Surely it was not out of some need on God's behalf, for that would go against everything we know Him to be. God would not be God if He was subject and dependent upon that which He has created. But why then? The answer: because man was in need of being saved from himself, being saved from the destruction he heaped upon himself by way of his many sins. The Blessed Trinity appeared to Peter, James, and John for the same reason man was created in the first place, for the same reason Christ condescended in the form of our human nature and died a human death. Love. Love is the reason for the Transfiguration. Love has always been and will always be what spins the wheel of God's involvement with His creation. The light of the Transfiguration is the image of that love. A love that is perfect becomes it comes from God who is perfect. And in beholding that image of perfection, the light of the Transfiguration, Christ standing before them in radiant glory, we see the potential of all of humanity, if it is perfected in divine love. As Vladimir Lasky writes, love is the divine gift that perfects human nature until it makes it appear in unity and identity by grace with the divine nature. That is precisely what we behold when we gaze upon Christ's holy Transfiguration. As St. Maximus puts it, regarding the light of Christ at Tabor, the image of Christ is what perfect love looks like. The image of Christ is what all of humanity should aspire to. In fact, it is what we are called to. To be perfected in love is to love, to live a life in constant communion with God. As St. Dorotheus states, a life in constant communion with God is able to transfigure our nature by making it like the divine nature, by making it participate in the uncreated light of grace, after the example of the humanity of Christ, who appeared to the disciples on Mount Tabor, clothed in uncreated glory. My friends, we have all been called to receive that uncreated glory, to walk about in the uncreated light of God. But how do we attain such a light? How do we clothe ourselves in such a love so great that it illuminates our entire being? How about we start by harnessing that same level of reverence and sincerity with which we approach and receive the Eucharist and apply it to every moment of our lives? How would it be if in every moment we declared ourselves unworthy and submitted ourselves to the will of Christ in every situation and in every conversation, just as the apostles did at Mount Tabor, who fell before Christ with their heads to the ground but then at Christ's instruction, arose, ready to follow him to the ends of the world. The light of the Transfiguration is the light of God's divine love. It is the light, as John declares at the beginning of his gospel, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Let us walk in that light, the light of perfect love, now and ever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.